Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is training, and we're going to discuss increasing volume without increasing pain. So I've had some clients and some listeners chime in with questions about, with the current situation they have going on with working at home or changes to their work, that they actually have more time now to train. And the majority of the ones kind of requesting this topic actually have home gyms where they have barbells, some plate weights. They have some ways to cause muscle damage and kind of do big compound lifts. So it's great for them that they have that availability. And even for those who just are doing like at-home workouts with like a couple like dumbbells, kettlebells, bands, free weights, stuff like that, this is still helpful. And this is actually helpful for when you get back into regular training, if you have like a surge of increasing your frequency or working out more often than you commonly did before, and or working out more commonly, more frequently than you did during this break time. So, all that stuff. But the reason why I point this out is this is going to be kind of talking about how do we handle exercising more whenever we have more free time and more ability to do so. And that's going to be even related to situations beyond just the virus and people working from home temporarily. So in general, I want to cover today three tips for how to manage increasing your training frequency without causing an increase in joint pain or muscle pain. Now, the downside to this is you won't know that you're causing that pain until it kicks in like weeks later. So often this is something where I kind of joke with my younger crowd. So I used to teach at the university, and one of the classes I taught was weight training. So the young guys would come in, young girls, but they would come into the gym. They would just like BS with friends, do no warm-up whatsoever, and jump under heavy weight right away. And I'm like, hey, you know, eventually someday your shoulders and knees are going to hate you for this. You probably want to warm up. Here's the information on how to warm up. And of course, I was the old guy. They were the young ones, so they didn't listen to anything I told them. But they are going to later on feel kind of like, oh man, my shoulders are creaky, my knees are creaky. It might be a week later, it might be 2 or 3 years later, and then they're going to realize that they should have been warming up all this time rather than wearing out their joints all this time. So unfortunately, our response to improper training frequencies and volumes is delayed. Therefore, people don't necessarily know what they did wrong, because maybe when the pain shows up isn't related, like that pain isn't related to what they're doing at that moment. It was actually related to what they were doing the weeks before. So I'll commonly see this as well, is when people start diets, they'll undereat for recovery, they'll train their butt off, and then it's only like 3 or 4 weeks later that they start feeling like crap and things are going downhill, and then they wonder what's going wrong then, and it's like, no, you've been undereating this whole time, and it's an accumulative lack of recovery that's causing the issue, not just something you're doing today. So here are three tips on how to manage that. The number one tip we have is to vary your intensities. And this doesn't mean that you have to do like really crazy, fun, hardcore workouts, but then take fluffy, lazy days. So I'm not saying you don't have to try hard. It's just change what you try hard at. So you can do big, heavy lifts like squats, deadlifts, bench presses, overhead presses, whatever the hell else people do. So you can do big, heavy lifts, but you can't do them every day. So if I were to try to squat on Monday, here's a good story. When I was younger and dumb, I did a training sequence with a training partner at a time where we did push-pull legs. Push was bench press, pull was deadlift, legs was squat. We did it those 3 days, and then we did another, like the same sequence again, and we did it for 21 days in a row. So for 21 days in a row, I benched, squatted, or deadlifted, and they were pretty much all max efforts, and it ended with me tearing my quads under a squat. So not the greatest method to do this. So I was that young punk, that idiot, didn't listen to my own advice, but it's a good story to kind of say that it took 21 days, and on the 21st day, I think I tried like a 495 squat at the time, which was way heavier than I should have been trying, but I didn't know any better. And I got to the bottom of the squat. I went to kind of contract my muscles. My outer quads moved, but nothing else did. And they just tore, basically. So that sucked. I then tried to continue to train and rehab it and figured it out, but I should have done a million things differently at that time. But it wasn't that 21st day that was the problem. It was the 20 days before that where I was under recovering that led to the injury. And that's what I want to avoid, help you avoid. So you can vary your intensities. That's our first tip. And what this is an example of, a single week that you could do, and there's a million ways to do this, but this is a good example, is maybe day one, whether that's Monday for you, let's just call it Monday. You're going to do max effort, big heavy compounds on lower body. So maybe you do some kind of good mobility warm-up, you do some kind of heavy effort on squats, some kind of heavy effort on deadlifts, and then you leave the gym. Maybe you'll do some stretching and mobility stuff, but you do no more exercising, no more muscle damage work. You leave the gym. Then, on Tuesday, day two, maybe you're going to do max effort upper body. So you do some type of heavy press, which would be bench press, overhead press, and some real heavy type of row, maybe a barbell bent over row, T-bar row, really heavy cable row, maybe if you want to save your lower back. Just some type of heavy row movement since you're doing a push and a pull on upper body day. But again, no more muscle damage work after that. Mobility, maybe some blood flow stuff, but then you leave the gym. So Monday is really heavy lower body stuff, then you leave the gym. Tuesday is really heavy upper body stuff, then you leave the gym. Wednesday is restoration efforts, and we're going to talk about that more in tip number two. But that is lightweight stuff for high blood flow. Then on day four, which will be Thursday, you do isolative work for lower body, which would be leg extensions, leg curls, kind of like a leg press on a single leg. You do maybe belt squats, step-ups, lunges. You do stuff that is more isolative rather than compound, meaning that compound movements are movements that involve many joints, many muscles, where isolative movements are trying to single out a joint or single out a muscle and just kind of annoy that particular part, but not try to get big other muscles involved. What that then usually leads to is a lower weight load capacity. So for example, I can't leg extension as much as I can squat. So even if I bust my ass and I try really freaking hard on leg extensions, I still will cause overall less stress to my body because leg extensions can't be done for the same weight as squats. So on Thursday, we do those type of isolative movements where there you can train really hard. You can be hardcore. You can do your best. You're just doing your best at small movements. Then on Friday, day five, you do upper body variations of the same thing. So maybe chest flies, lat pull downs, maybe do bicep curls, tricep extensions. But you break the upper body down into individual body parts, just like you did with the lower body, rather than using it as one big congruent unit for like a bench press, overhead press, or row. Day six, which would be Saturday, you would do restoration efforts. Again, that's high blood flow without any muscle damage. We're going to talk about that next. And then maybe the seventh day, you do some mobility work. We do some yoga lattes, some yoga stuff, Pilates stuff. You do some blood flow, kind of mind-muscle connection type things. You just move yourself around. You be active. You can go ride a bike, go walk, go for a walk, go for a swim. Just be active, but don't do things that cause muscle damage. Maybe just some aerobic fatigue, but no muscular damage. So that's one tip. That's a big tip, is varying your intensities. Don't go balls to the wall under heavy things every damn day. You're going to wear yourself out. Okay. So do some big things, but also do some light things and some restoration style efforts. Cool. Tip number two is restoration efforts. So you have to implement these into your programs. So restoration efforts are blood flow activities without any purpose of muscle damage. So I might get in the leg extension, put on a really lightweight, and just do a set of 100 reps all in a row. It's a ton of blood flow through the joints and the muscles related to the exercise you're doing, and that helps with recovery and loosening any tight tissues around that joint, whatever joint is involved in the exercise. That actually helps you recover faster between your workouts and can actually help you increase your volume of overall training, but again, it allows you to recover, so it decreases your pains. So I've used these a bajillion times for my aesthetic clients and my powerlifting clients. So people who have a high frequency of training, but we also have to be very careful to not overtrain. So we have to avoid any kind of muscular tissue or joint issues because it will lessen their performance or overall aesthetics. So we do a lot of blood flow activities, which we use as like cardio for body fat control, basically. So this, again, could be like leg extensions for 100 reps, leg curls for 100 reps. It could be a leg press for 100 reps. So typically we'll do sets of over 1 minute of activity. So it's going to be like a minute, 2 minutes, or 3 minutes. I've even done up to 5 minutes before. But it's just really lightweight, getting a ton of blood flow, tons of burning kind of through the joint. But you're not going to aim for muscle damage. Okay? Tip number three is to increase your recovery efforts. So if you're going to increase your exercising efforts, you have to increase your recovery efforts. So that way you can manage the effects of the exercise. How do we recover? It's either through food or sleep. Okay, so in podcast number 225, we actually discuss recovery processes related to food and sleep. If you have nervous system stress, which is from very heavy lifting, sleep is the best way to recover. If you have muscle damage stress from kind of medium range bodybuilding type stuff, then food is the best way to recover. So that's very important, because often people who do power lifting, which stresses your nervous system, they overeat to try to recover because they can't sleep more. They don't manage their sleep better and try to get a better quality of sleep or set aside more time to sleep. So they try to out-eat their recovery and they just get overweight. And then they think powerlifting made them fat. No, you overate based on your activity level and that made you fat. How you were supposed to recover is through sleep. However, if you're doing bodybuilding and you'll have a lot of muscle damage, but you don't have a lot of nervous system stress or as much as a powerlifter lifting like one rep maxes, then you need to focus more on food. That's why bodybuilders eat all freaking day. So that's how they're going to repair their tissues, is through food. So you want to increase your recovery efforts based on how your training style is. So if your training style is very heavy, you want to recover harder or recover better by sleeping more. Even if it's cat naps or better quality of sleep. So we have a podcast about improving sleep quality. So I'm going to look that up real quick because I didn't have that prepared ahead of time. But that's very helpful information. So that is podcast 376 titled Improving Sleep Quality. So that will help you if you can't sleep more, how can you get better sleep? So those are very important things to make sure you're aiming for the right type of recovery for your training style, so that way you don't mismanage body fat and or just not feel recovered even though you feel like you're putting efforts into it. So those are three very helpful tips for how to increase training volume without increasing any kind of associated pains. So how can you get the best out of your increased efforts without some type of a negative effect happening in a month or so? Okay, so tip one was varying your intensities. Tip two is using restoration efforts. And tip three is increasing your recovery via food or sleep. So hopefully this was helpful. If you have any questions about how to do like kind of programming at home, we do have podcast 559 titled At Home Training, and you can look that up and listen to that. It gives you a great structure to use. If you have specific questions about programming that you would like help with, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and we'll try our best to get back to you and help answer your questions. And if it's a good question in terms of multiple, like helping other people, we'll turn it into a podcast. Okay. But either way, we'll get you the answer. Cool. So hopefully this was helpful. And if you do have the chance or the opportunity to work out more, awesome. Good for you. Let it help your mental and emotional state and let it kind of just be your me time and get rid of some of the negativity in terms of worry and stress and whatnot that there is in the world. So enjoy the ability you have to still work towards your goals. And I hope you make the best of that effort. Cool. Okay. If you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.